Welcome back to Speaking of Sack. It is Tuesday, September 10th. Joined here this morning with Dr. Francisco Solis, president of San Antonio College. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Hot Mustard.
We're having a lot of fun today.
It is.
A lot of fun going on. Well, last week we left on a conversation a little bit about financial aid.
Correct.
I wanted to follow up on it because we had a wonderful discussion when we were off the air, and that's not fair to the listener.
Great.
So when I did start school here at SAC, I did find financial aid to be a bit of a hassle. That's me personally. But keep in mind, I'm coming from a world where I had been out of high school for a while. I didn't make it back to school until I was 22. And paperwork to me, I was like, nah, I'm good. I'll work more, pay out of pocket. Now, that being said, you know, we are doing more here on campus now, especially with the SAC Cares initiative and everything. We try to be more proactive with students, and they come to us with a problem, and we don't state the solution. We show them the solution. We have to handle them with gentle care, and we follow through with them to make sure that if they do have a problem, we can solve.
Sure, Luke. This is kind of two prongs the way I look at it. First is, and may I ask, are you a first-gen student?
No.
Okay. So at least your parents were able to help you somewhat, right? Imagine a student whose parents haven't been to college and the student asks, how might I get your help? And they really don't know, right? They're unable to provide that help to the student because they haven't had that experience. And so there's one, we have a couple of FAFSA nights, if you want, where we bring students in, ask their parents to attend, and really sit down with the student and help them complete the FAFSA. There are a number of city organizations as well that will help complete FAFSA throughout the academic year. That's first. Second, we know that it's a cumbersome process. Even those of us who have been to college, when mm-hmm. asked by our children, can you help us with this, found it difficult. And so FAFSA and the government are trying to improve the process, thus the continuous process improvement, if you want, for them. They've rolled out a new process, and we'll get a new process, if you want, this coming year, right, where we hope they hope they've eliminated some of those pitfalls, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't deny FAFSA is a difficult process. That's why we ask students, start early. If you need help, contact a number of organizations, as well as SAC, to help promote, right, how to get prepared for FAFSA. So, yes, it's a difficult process.
And, you know, younger me as well, mm-hmm. I did think of financial aid as a bit of a handout.
Sure.
But I will say I have changed my mind. It's not a handout. It's a hand up.
I like that term.
Because there was a point in my college education, I had gotten my brother's car and I took over payments. Mm-hmm. He joined the Navy, went out to San Diego, and I was like, I'll do the payments. And a professor pulled me aside and said, you've been here a while. It's been like 4 years already. Let's look at your degree plan and see what we can do. And I came to the determination, well, if I got rid of the car, that's one car payment. That's less hours I have to work. That's more I can focus on school. So if you look at financial aid that way, you know, the money you get helps keep you in school. You get to take more classes and live. You have somewhere to stay, something to eat. So financially, definitely is important, and it is a hand up.
Yeah, you know, we know that students list two reasons why they are not able to attend college. First is cost, and second is time. Right. So for
time,
our students who are working.
Time is money.
And time is money. And so, you know, the idea here is to help you with the first, cost, so that you can maybe scale back your work. Maybe you don't have to work 40 hours, but 20 hours plus your financial aid would be able to help you get through college. and so it is a hand up, if you want. Nobody gets more than they're entitled to. That's the formula funding.
Yes.
Right? And so the whole idea here is to help you complete college so that then you can earn a career or get into a career that helps you earn a sustainable wage for you and your family.
Now, they did recently redo the process. They tried to simplify it, and there's going to be growing pains with that. What type of changes has that created across the campus as far as the work-study program goes?
So the work-study program, we get an amount of work-study. It's a total amount, though. It's not a positions. And so from that, we determine then at our rate of pay for that, how many work-study positions we'll have. We just got that. I think this year we'll employ 123 students through the work-study program. They'll be available through a variety of offices, and soon students will be able to see those applications as they apply for those positions.
And then go to alamo.edu/jobs and click on the work-study link there and find an office that you'd like to work in.
Absolutely.
That's very, very, very cool. So it is September. A wonderful September we are having. National Hispanic Serving Institutions Week is also going on. So, HSI, Hispanic Serving Institutions. How does one become an HSI? What does it mean?
Well, first of all, you have to have at least 25% of your population, your full-time population, has to be Latinx or Hispanic. And the second is that a number of students have to meet a financial aid need, right? And so we meet both those tests, and we have been a HSI since 1986. We're proud of the work that we do for all students, and in particular, our Latinx students.
Very nice. So Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities, HACU.
HACU, we're a founding institution in the organization.
And I heard a little bit about HACU and what we do. Tell me a little bit more about HACU.
Sure. Well, it was founded in San Antonio, and we're proud of what the work that it does to promote the work that all HSIs do across the country. I think it's, last I heard, it's about 600 institutions across the country have the HSI standing. I'm always amazed at the work that these institutions are doing to promote their programs towards completion and student success, right? These programs are about that. It also allows you then to apply for funding from the government through various grants. We have two here at SAC, the Apoyo grant, which was a $2.5 million award, and it's the idea behind it is to help underrepresented students through peer advisors. The program is largely part of the Ascender program, mm-hmm. which helps promote students, again, through retention. The second is the Project Build. It's a Title III grant. And in that grant, what we are doing is helping students in the STEM fields where their Latinx students and underrepresented students are largely void, if you want, of many of these programs. And so what we're doing there is helping these students to team up with research projects, course-based in their course. Many of our students don't have that opportunity to participate in undergraduate research, and this fulfills that need. Imagine what this does for our students who transfer into four-year universities when they have completed and added to their portfolio a undergraduate research project led by a faculty member, and really the showcase for these programs was phenomenal, the work that these students have done, and it's in all STEM fields across the college.
Very nice. And it's very important. You know, recently we had the Supreme Court decision on affirmative action, and now you're having schools, Harvard and MIT, now reporting it's their student body, their incoming freshman class, less diverse than what it was before.
Correct. And we're proud that we represent the diversity of San Antonio in our college. If you look at our demographics, we're almost aligned number for number, if you want, by the population in Bexar County in our service area. We're so proud of that. We continue to do the work of our students, of all students. It's in our mission that we promote all students and their student success. And so we're just really proud of the work that we do here at SAC.
It's also National Student Parent Month. And I was over in the library a couple weeks ago. They have a very cool, it's called the Kids Zone, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And they got all the little chairs and toys and books. And it's very cool. Very inviting, I would say.
Yeah, a couple of things there, right, is that 20% of our students, or one-fifth of our total population in a survey, are parenting students, meaning there's at least one child in the home. And, you know, I think about my own educational career, which was very different. I went straight from high school to undergraduate to graduate school. I didn't have any children, and I didn't work until I joined the Navy, was my first day of work. And I think about that experience, how different it is than most students. And I didn't know that, and really until I started teaching at SAC and started to learn about my students and the lives they lead. And, you know, it's what we ask now, that you teach with compassion for our students and a true understanding and empathy at most. If you can't sympathize with our students, that you at least empathize with our students. And that's to have an understanding of their complicated lives.
Mm-hmm.
They lead very different lives than a student who isn't working and is only going to college, right? And so 20% of our students are full-time. I don't doubt that even those full-time students are working today. My own son is a full-time student, and he's working. And I think it's more common than not.
I was working overnight at a gas station while I went to school here, and it did make it easier as far as the scheduling of everything went, because I was able to get off in the morning, 6 a.m., come down here, do the morning show. Classes start right after my show. It was good to go. That's not a perfect scenario for a lot of people, majority of people. And I can only imagine if you're having to work a different schedule like that and you have a kid.
Sure. You know, I became a parent when I was 40 years old. And so I had already completed my education and I was in my career. And when the complications of being a parent started in my life, I was working. And occasionally I had to ask my boss, right? Hey, I need the day off. My son is sick. I've got to take him to the doctor. At the beginning, I was a single parent. And so much of the responsibility was on me. I was surrounded by family, though, who helped. But it's very difficult to lead. You know, imagine working, raising children, maintaining a job, and a family life, and going to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to balance all of that.
And depending on your major, you might have classes that have labs.
Sure.
I know in the RTF department, there's group projects, there's filming going on where you have to coordinate with several other students, check out equipment, go to an off-site location, and deal with all of that. Meanwhile, your child's needs to be picked up by 5.
The team project.
Yeah. So
notice we're all laughing when we say the team project, right? It's interesting, though, you know, that but we can't get away from the team project. You know, so many of our employers list being able to work in teams as a primary skill necessary to be successful in the workforce.
Yes.
Team projects are important.
It definitely makes it easier. And because, yeah, happy workplace is a great workplace. And if you've worked in a place that's not happy, I'm pretty sure chances are you have not been happy. Well, we do offer a wide range of services for our students. They have the Early Childhood Center, the new Early Childhood Center. It's a very amazing facility that we do have over there. It's accredited by the National Association for the Education of Young Children and licensed by Texas Health and Human Services. So that's always great. We also offer financial help through C campus grant from the Department of Education.
Right.
And then we also have our food pantry.
Right. We have a number of services on campus. Also through the Advocacy Center now, right? So let's not forget the obvious, the services there, the food pantries available, the clothing closet, and a number, the grab and go. But there's a number of services provided specifically for students with families. They have started a new advocacy parent support group, right, that meets. I remember speaking recently with Jillian, the director of the Student Advocacy Center, who said she just can't form enough of these sessions, right? They're in such high demand. And I don't doubt it, right? I think it's a perfect opportunity for parents to come together. I also appreciate the feedback that we're getting from those parents. And in meetings with Jillian, she's passing that feedback on to us, how we can better direct our services really to meet those needs. You hate to have services available, but they're not targeted to the right audience, right? And so I think through this feedback, we're improving those services, a continuous improvement plan. Also, we were recognized recently by Generation Hope with the national certification for our intentional work in serving our parents. We're so proud of the Family Use Seal. It, you know, what it means is that as an organization, San Antonio College is intentional about serving our parents through these programs. You know, you just can't say you serve families. You have to demonstrate through data and narratives, right, that this is in fact what we do. And we're so proud to have been selected for the Family Use Seal.
Very cool. Very cool when you can track that these programs are working and they actually are helping people.
Well, you know, sometimes you hear that maybe we're just after the award. And that's not it at all. The award is the recognition, the national recognition, whether that's Aspen or Excellencia or the Family Use Seal. What the award means is that we've gone to a third party to validate the work that we do. That's why the award is important, right? That we've put ourselves out there to be measured by an independent agency, and that we've shown to be successful in the area in which we've attempted to establish these programs. And that's the award, right? Sure, the award is nice. And it also means, though, that, you know, when you're looking for an organization, and if you see a certain seal, remember on the Cheerios box, the little heart that said, oh, you know, this is good for your heart. This is like that, right? And it shows that, you know, for these needs, right, we've been certified.
Very nice. And when getting awards, you know, they were announcing some production awards last week, and I had a group of students sitting around a monitor, and they were announcing all these different things for audio work, video work. And we got nominated for one, Best Featured News Reporting. We submitted in 11 categories, though. And some of the students were like, oh, I didn't get nominated. Well, awards don't come easy. And it really takes people, takes organizations, to not only see where they can do right, but also look in where they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we correct that and just do better, be better?
Right. You know, I think these awards provide us with frameworks. And if you really want the award, you start to design your work within that framework, if and only if, though, that framework meets your mission.
Yes.
Right? That's what's important. And so, you know, when you can, if you think about the work we do here at SAC, we are under a number of frameworks. We operate under our SAC's accreditation framework. We operate under the charges to the chancellor's framework, right, by the Board of Trustees. We operate under our strategic plan. We operate under Excellencia's framework. We're aligned to Aspen framework. Again, a number of frameworks, and it's how they overlap. Now, most of those, right, frameworks are within the educational setting, and so they are looking usually at 10 big categories, which we measure, student success, student outcomes, and so it's a matter of how you bring those frameworks into and align it with the work that you do. I think that's why we've been so successful at SAC. We're all about, if you want, measuring and working towards outcomes, but they have to be aligned to student success, which is our priority one.
Yes. Everything we do, there's purpose behind it.
Absolutely.
The San Antonio College Library, they're kicking off their SAC Reads later this month, and I hope to have them in sometime this week or next week on the show in the morning. But they have selected a graphic novel.
Right, Tales from La Vida, a Latinx comics anthology. This is such interesting work, right? There's definitely a place for the Latinx community, especially in comics, and the work that these authors are doing. To really combine our language, our culture, and our history, right, to bring a story to life. And so it's really been very interesting.
In a new way, you know, they, oh my gosh, it was a local museum. They had an exhibit where it was luchadors, and they were superheroes. Because that's what they do. They're luchadores. I mean, they're amazing. And they're built from the mythology of these amazing godlike people. So I'm definitely looking forward to these comics.
Well, what's interesting about them, right, is the ability of these authors really to bring in stories that we can all identify with,
right? Yes,
through our culture. And it's a shared culture, and we should celebrate this culture, which we do through these stories.
Definitely. And you can stop by the San Antonio College Library performance area. It's in the Moody Learning Center on the fourth floor. And it's going to be this morning, 10:50 to noon, 12:05. The Carnaval de la Vida. It's going to be the kickoff event. Very, very, very cool. And they're going to have free copies of the novel for students, staff, and faculty. There's
Go
games.
Go by and pick up your copy.
Yeah. I got to do that. I'll take a lunch break around that time.
Yeah, and the other great thing about this, right, is that the reads, right, the common reads, bring the SAC community together. And they've been so thoughtful about the selection that they've made throughout its programming. And so I really appreciate it. I've picked up my copy, and I hope to participate.
The SAC reads are a lot of fun. It's, you know, if you've ever watched a TV show or read a book and you want to talk about it with someone and you can't because no one else is watching it or reading it, these are the SAC reads. This is not that. Like, you're going to have other people that you can talk about these graphic novels with and relate to and converse about it and engage and really dissect it and what it meant to you, and you hear what it meant to other people. So bringing people together.
Sure, and I think this one will be especially interesting as it weaves, right, a common story through culture.
And they're also going to have other events throughout the semester. They're going to have visits from two of the authors, an art workshop, and a contest where a student can win a scholarship and have their artwork displayed in the library. That is awesome. Speaking of scholarships, scholarships are opening up here pretty soon. Starting September 16th, the Alamo Colleges Foundation are going to start accepting. And that has been simplified as well. You fill out one application, and they do the best to match you up to what you qualify for.
Absolutely. The work is being done through the application process.
And I, going back, I was that student where I was like, oh, I have to write an essay in order to get a scholarship, in order to even qualify for a scholarship. And time is money to me, and I did not. And I really wish I can go back in time and grab younger me by the shoulders and say, hey, scholarships.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many opportunities go unclaimed because the limit might be $500. And a student doesn't may not view $500 as enough to really get them to write to the application. But it's helpful, right, the $500 in keeping you in college.
If you look at an hour-by-hour basis,
right.
It takes you 5 hours to write an essay. For $500, that's $100 an hour.
But there's help, right? Go to the Writing Center if you need help with it.
Yes, Writing Center. I believe that is the second floor.
Yes.
Of the Moody Learning Center.
Moody Learning Center, right in the entrance there.
Stop on by. I think Christian's still over there, I believe.
Yes.
Either that or Jerry. One of them will be there. All right. And once again, those open Monday, September 16th. And they're having workshops that day as well, 11 a.m. to noon on the 16th and September 23rd. So tomorrow, Patriot Day, September 11th. And there's going to be some things going on.
Yeah, our first responders programs, including Law Enforcement Academy, the Fire Academy, and the EMS Paramedic Program, will hold a memorial for Patriot Day. I don't want to say, right, that we will remember. I think the better phrase is to say that we continue to remember those men and women who lost their lives in the 9/11 attack on our country. I think that this does much more than that. You know, I've been fortunate to participate in the event here at SAC for a number of years. Just to bring our community together for a few moments to remember and stand really shoulder to shoulder. If you've ever been in that crowd, I'm always amazed. It's a huge area, and yet everybody gets very close, literally shoulder to shoulder. I think there's something about that. I think there's something about the human touch in this moment. As we observe and stand together, literally, to remember these fallen heroes.
Mm-hmm.
The ceremony will start at 9 o'clock on September 11th by the memorial marker just in front of the Chance Academic Center.
Where were you on 9/11?
At 9/11, at that time, I was full-time adjunct. And so I used to teach four nights a week. So I used to come in the afternoon and stay until 9 because I had a class Monday through Thursday every night. And so I was still at home. And I was watching when by the time I turned Good Morning America on, the first plane had already hit. And I was watching when the second hit. And, you know, I only live about 2 blocks from the campus. And so I used to walk into campus back then. And I remember that they hadn't called school yet that day. And so I started walking. By the time I started walking, there was, if you want, a mass exodus from campus because they sent everybody home that morning.
Oh, wow.
And I started to notice the really heavy flow of traffic. And by the time I walked onto campus, somebody said they've already canceled everything and sent everybody home that day. And so I remember, right, watching. I remember then going back home and, like most of us, staying close to a television watching on a loop, if you want. There's talk about, you know, what that has done to a lot of Americans, you know, watching that episode on loop for hours and hours. But more than that, there wasn't anything to show, except then, of course, when the towers started to fall and you know, the rest of the day progressed. But I started at home and ended up on campus and then walked back home.
Yeah. Definitely a day that hopefully younger generations don't have to experience.
Sure.
It's 8:56. You are listening to KSYM, San Antonio College Radio. The big debate is tonight. And I've always said, election year, fall semester, government classes are so much fun. I envy those students. The conversations that happen in the classroom on presidential election semesters, phenomenal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What an experience tonight, right? It's a historical moment. I think all debates are historical moments. This one, because of the candidates involved, is more so. But it's not to be missed. I think it's a must-see for everyone. it's an opportunity to participate if you want, by hearing the two candidates and the views of the two candidates. And I just think it's essential that we all tune in this evening.
Definitely. And we want to encourage everyone to vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for.
No, absolutely.
But voting, it's important. It's our civic duty, you know. It's mm-hmm. participate. And if you don't participate, well, I don't have to talk to you as much.
It's what drives our democracy, right? Is participating and voting.
In my area, my precinct, I there's not much voter participation. Mm-hmm. I am a vote the day of person, mainly because it's very convenient for me. Mm-hmm. Like literally, I can go 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm probably the 30th person of the day. I could be in and out in 45 seconds. I wish there were more people voting. Why do you think some people don't vote?
Probably because they don't believe that their vote counts, right? Will make a difference. But if you think about where we are, right, in this election, and just so from, I guess, the polls is all we have, it's going to be a very close vote. And I have no doubt that every vote will be counted. Think about the number of races nationally or across the nation in governor's elections and Senate elections that have been within 1,200 votes.
Yeah.
1,200 votes.
All right. I think we had a lot of fun this morning.
Yes. Thank you very much again for inviting me. I appreciate it.
And you can listen to Speaking of SAC on the go. Just head on over to ksym.org/SOS. Or on the front page, there is a link right there. Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Or you can listen on the ksym.org website. All right. And we'll be back next week.
I look forward to being with you. Thank you.